Have you ever gone into a breakfast place, my friend, and ordered a cup of coffee, and then 2 or 3 minutes later, when it's delivered, you call the waitress and say, "Would you mind heating up this coffee for me, please?" without saying no? Most people who are victims of abuse cannot make that request without apologizing. Well, this broadcast is going to say a few things about that and a few more things, because we're learning our liberty as men and women now who are no longer under the bondage of fear. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News, and we are taking the book of Romans topic by topic instead of verse by verse. And the theme this week is, I believe, but I can't get over my abuse. So we know we're counted as whole in Jesus Christ. We know that we are counted as righteous in Him. His righteousness is imputed to us. It's charged to us. But we also know that we have this human nature that has been badly wounded, not only from Adam, but also as a result of our abuser. And we don't know how to get past it. But we now know that nothing is against us, that God is for us, and we are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities and powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And why do we know this? Because we have received, by faith, the spirit not of bondage anymore to fear of our own opinion, fear of being rejected, fear that we cannot make a decision that's sensible, all of these things. No, we have no longer received that spirit, but we have received the spirit of adoption. So we are God's children, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, in our hearts, Daddy, Father, we know He loves us. We know we're in His home. And so now we want to make use of the fact that we were abused. Now, my friends, how do we do that then? Well, let's take for simple examples. You know you've been saying sorry too much. You can hardly express an opinion without apologizing for it halfway through, sort of retracting it just in case it's wrong or somebody might laugh at it. What do you do with that kind of thing? Well, perhaps you recall 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, when Paul asked God if he would take away that thorn in the flesh, you remember? And he said to me in response, God did, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you say to God, well then, Father, I'm going to take this weakness, this tendency to say sorry at every opinion I utter, and I'm going to make use of it. I'm going to say thank you for this, dear Father, and I'm now asking you to reveal your strength in it. And here's a little exercise. It may seem silly, funny. Go to a restaurant, a breakfast place, a coffee shop. Ask for a cup of coffee, if you drink coffee, or ask for a cup of tea, if it's tea, hot tea. And when the waitress has brought it to you, about 5 minutes later, call the waitress and ask her to warm up the coffee and make it hotter, please, without saying sorry. Now, I can assure you that you will be so tempted to say sorry. You will be so inclined to explain yourself because you're afraid you're putting her out or inconveniencing her. But you see, my friends, this is a simple exercise in making a request without adding an apology to it, which qualifies the request and almost nullifies it. Now, you can do that in many other ways. You can premeditate a statement that you're going to make in the Bible study group, or your fellowship somewhere, or in the family. And you can tell yourself, I'm not going to say sorry when I make this comment. Simply leave it floating in the air and let people deal with it as they will and as they wish. When you do this, you begin to realize that you were not simply apologizing for fear that your view will not be accepted, but you're apologizing because you're anxious about what the other person might feel or how he or she might react. And of course, where does that stem from? From your abuse. You've been living in your abuser's world. You've never had a world of your own. And so you're asking that person now simply to handle his own responses. They're not yours. Don't worry about it. Practice, you see, makes perfect. Although we don't want to talk about perfection, practice improves things. You grow. Similarly to boundaries. Let's suppose, once again, the pastor or the head elder or someone at church asks you to do something and to volunteer on something, and you've never refused, and he fully expects you to refuse, and you say, well, I'm sorry, and it's okay to say sorry at this point. I'm sorry, I can't do it this time. Now, perhaps you don't have a plan in mind. You don't have an alternative thing you're going to be doing that day. But you're saying, I can't do it this time, because you're practicing having a boundary and learning to say no. Not always no, but simply learning to say no occasionally. Now, you do that without explaining why. You don't say, I'm really sorry, I can't do it this time, but because I'm trying to learn how to say no. And I know that sounds crazy, but I've got to be able to do this because I've always been saying yes when I meant no. Don't go into any of that. Your reasons are your personal reasons. So there's another practice. And you say, Father, I thank you for this weakness in regard to my inability or my fear of placing boundaries. So I thank you for this opportunity, or I'm going to praise you for the next opportunity that comes along to say no. Just as a practice. Now, do you see, you don't say this with anger. You don't say this with coldness. You don't say this with resentment and bitterness. You say it with a freedom of spirit, a love and a care. You know that the pastor or the head elder can find someone else. They might be he or she might be taken aback a little bit. Oh, all right, I see. And you might finish the conversation with, I hope you'll be able to find someone else. And leave it at that. Oh my goodness, my friends, you will be amazed at how you are beginning to sense your own space. What about setting goals? Setting goals is a rare thing for a person who has been abused, or adventuring out into the world. Because, you see, remember, not only are you afraid that a decision of yours cannot be kept because your little decision muscle hasn't been exercised very much throughout life because the abuser has made all the decisions for you, but also, you have never had your own world. You had your abuser's world. And remember, I'm talking about this religious abuse too. I've mentioned that earlier, but I want to keep reminding you that religious abuse, which can exist in a Christian family, is extremely subtle and powerful, especially because it is attended with religious morals of right and wrong, and good and evil. And you may think that by opposing some counsel of your parent, mother or father, it would be sinful of you to do so. But once you know what religious abuse is, you can begin to see through the confusion of all that. So you set your goals. You may not succeed in fulfilling them all the time, but as you do so, you practice and you say, I can set a goal because I'm free now. I'm free in Jesus Christ. Nothing is against me. Everything is in my favor. I live in his resurrection. I am free to make plans in Jesus and to make goals and to ask him to help me to their fulfillment. You might want to adventure out. You might want to go on a vacation. You might want to take a train ride somewhere. You might want to do something that seems wonderfully free and crazy. And you do it because you are now free. Yes, you might be frightened. Yes, you might think, well, what if I get afraid when I get to a certain destination and I'll feel alone? And I'll want to call up mummy or daddy, or I'll want to run back home. The Lord will be with you. Whither shall I go, says David in Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. God will be there ahead of you. He will be there with you, and you will be growing. You won't be trying to change your personality or stuff your personality or switch into another personality that is not a real you. You will simply be learning to grow in your personality. Your personality is part of your broken down, fallen human nature, but it can grow. You are counted as righteous in your spirit. Your human nature will never be perfect. That's all right. Simply learn to live your imperfection courageously. As you do all this, you begin to notice that your irritability level, your irritability meter, is going down. It is lessening. Why? Because you did not feel the freedom to say yes or no. You did not feel the freedom to set your own boundaries. You did not feel the freedom to have an opinion. And so whenever somebody asked you to do something, you felt under bondage because you could not express yourself. And that created an anger in you, which you also felt you couldn't express, so it simply came out in irritability. And people would occasionally look sideways at you and say, what's wrong with him? But now, you're being able to say yes and no, set boundaries, express opinions without apology, and you're noticing that your irritability is lessening. All of this, my friends, is a wonderfully expanding experience. You will no longer look at your abuse as something that is crushing and killing and destroying you. On the contrary, you will see your abuse as a tribulation, listen now, as a tribulation that is producing perseverance, and a perseverance that is producing character, and a character that is producing hope. That's Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And so you will see that what you thought was so dreadfully against you has now, in the hands of faith that believes in God's grace, that thing has become an instrument that is in your favor. I'm trying to plan ahead, as I mentioned yesterday, my friends, for the radio rent for October. We're only in the middle of September, but I don't see the money flowing enough with all the expenses that we've had to reach the goal of $850 radio rent by the 10th of October. I wonder, therefore, if you would help me. I'm not worrying about it. I'm trying to train myself not to worry, but I am planning. If somebody would like to underwrite the radio broadcast for $850, please contact me and send your check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Or if you prefer to make this donation by card, then contact me at 303-738-8694. Perhaps four people could underwrite it for the amount of about $210 or so per person. Thank you so much, or maybe two people at $425. You support the broadcast, and I thank you so much for doing that, my friends. Well, I will see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.